Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Sota is Tes Zion. We are on the bottom of Tes Vav Amud Beis. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf as well as Zichron Nishmas Libe Gabriela Bashmuel. So let's begin today with a discussion of dirt. Today's daf, the entire daf today is dedicated to the topic of dirt. We learned the Mishnah yesterday on Tes Vav Amud Beis, continued in the sequence of the procedure of the Sota. So the Mishnah described how we're going to fill up a Piley of cheres, some sort of jug of earthenware jug, and we're going to put in it water. How much water? It's machlokas in the Mishnah between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda. It's either a chatzi lug or it's a revius. And Rabbi Yehuda is consistent, as the Mishnah pointed out yesterday, because his ksav is short. He doesn't write much of Parsha Sota on the cloth, so therefore he does not need as much water. And then he would go into the Heichal, and upon going into the Heichal, you make a right-hand turn, as the Gemara explained yesterday, because you always want to make a right-hand turn. You go into the Heichal, you make a right-hand turn, and on the floor, in the Heichal, so there's a tablet. It's we pointed out on the board behind me. It's in the northeast corner of the Heichal. So there's a tablet, and there's a ring connected to the tablet on the floor, and you pick it up, and there should be some loose earth on the floor. And the Mishnah describes that you take a little bit of loose earth and you put it into the water. And how much do you put in? So the Mishnah does not give a shear. The Mishnah just simply says visibility. As long as you could see the earth in the water, so then you successfully contributed the dirt to the water. And then the Mishnah then leaves it at that point. And later we'll obviously pick it up from this point going forward in terms of what's going to happen. I mean, we all know. I mean, I'm not giving away any secrets. We know what's going to happen. But okay, that's what we learned back in the Mishnah. In terms of,
the lettuce melt away, right, from the cloth. So it's going to give color to the water, then you won't be able to even see the dirt.
Well, in other words, right now it's just dirt and water. That's all we have right now. It's a cloth is coming later. Malka Mayusham Amma. So Tana Rabbanan, about 6-7 lines on the bottom of the Amud. Mina Afra Sheyeh. The Torah describes when taking the dirt. Mina Afra Sheyeh. So it's dirt from there, meaning from the Mishkan. So the Gemara says, I might have thought that here's what we can do. We could bring dirt from the outside. So Tamalomar, Bakarka Mishkan. So that's what the Torah says. The Torah is very clear. The Torah demands that the dirt has to come specifically from the Mishkan, from the ground of the Mishkan. So So let's say the following. Let's say you go into the Mishkan, you pick up the tablet, you look underneath, there's no loose dirt. Nothing. So here's what I might have thought. Oh, no loose dirt? Okay, let's make some loose dirt. So take a shovel and start digging. So the Gemara says, I might have thought that as a havamina. So tamalomar asher yihyeh. So that's what the asher yihyeh means. In other words, you can, if it's not there, so you make it there. So haketzad, yesham, yesham have, einsham, tainsham. So if there's dirt over there, so that's great. So take it from there. And if there isn't dirt over there, tainsham. Then you're allowed to put it there. So in other words, according to the author of this brisa, here's the story. I need dirt from the ground of the Mishkan, right? From the floor of the Mishkan. That's what the Torah says, Bekarka Mishkan. So really, primarily, what I would like is to go there, lift up the tablet, find a little bit of loose earth underneath, loose dirt underneath, and that's good. However, could be there's no dirt over there. So what do I do? So what I do is I go from the outside. I get some dirt from the outside. I bring it into the Mishkan. I put it on the ground, and then I could take from there. But in other words, it has to be Mikarka Mishkan, either organically, naturally, or if not, so then we'll manufacture a little bit of dirt. I don't really mean manufacture. I mean bring it from the outside and bring it in here.
What's some of the digging?
Yeah, so I was wondering itself. I was wondering myself. Maybe you just don't want to. Right. You don't want to play with the floor plan of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. In other words, the Gemara elsewhere says that the Beis HaMikdash is, and you'll see in just a moment. Mishkan Beis HaMikdash may be interchangeable, but Beis HaMikdash Mishkan they were built with very clear specifications. And once you start digging, you may be upsetting the.
Maybe the tile won't go flat anymore.
Perhaps.
Because is there a concern about possible meila that the soot is getting benefit from what belongs to it?
Right. So apparently underneath the tile is you know. Fair game. Also, right. Also, it's a Kiyama Mitzvah Satorah. Okay. Let's continue. Tanya Idach. The Gemara is now going to quote another brisa. Mina afar asher yev chule malamed shayim esaken mibachutz umachnis bekarka hamishkan. Rashi is of the opinion, if you take a look at Rashi over here, so that this brisa argues on the previous brisa. In fact, Rashi says so. Tanya Idach pliga hakamaisa. So this brisa is arguing on the previous brisa. But tonight he could take tani b'pulked to tonight. V'achtel al mituk meki isi b'menachem. The previous brisa, as the Gemara is going to point out, goes like isi b'menachem. How does this brisa argue with the previous brisa? Take a look at the next Rashi. Minafar shir ben mishkan medloksiv mikarka mishkan yikach eino makbid al shiachnas lehechal. So according to this brisa, the second brisa, you only need to bring the dirt into the hechal. It doesn't have to be in the karka. Malamish mesakim mebechutz machnas mebifneim lehechal venosin elamayim. You can prepare the dirt from the outside and just bring it to the hechal. Ve'ein tzarich lahanichal bekarka hechal, and you don't have to put it on the ground of the hechal. So as opposed to the previous brisa, where if there is no dirt that naturally exists there underneath the ground, so you bring dirt in, you put it in the ground, and then you put it into the water. So this brisa, according to Rashi, says no, that's not necessary. All that you need to do is just simply bring dirt from the outside. Okay. Bottom line of Tezvavam and Beis Easy Ben Yehuda Omer Lahavi Karkan Shilo Nov Vigivon Ubeis Olamim. Isi ben Yehuda is of the opinion that it's coming to include the karka of Shilo Nov Givon Beis Olamim. So first a little history lesson, and then we look at Rashi. The history lesson is when we went into Eretz Yisrael, so in the Midbar we had the Mishkan, meaning that was our temple. That was the temple edifice, was a portable temple coming around. Wherever we went, that's where the Mishkan came as well. Then what happens is we go into Eretz Yisrael. So 14 years it took for us to conquer and divide the land, and then we set up a temporary temple. And by temporary, of course, I mean 369 years. Okay, just right, a blink on the historical map. Shilo has been around as a base of Mikdash almost as long as the first base of Mikdash and the second base of Mikdash. First base of Mikdash 410, second base of Mikdash 420. So Shilo perhaps goes a little bit underrated in terms of how long it was as a base of Mikdash, as a temple. So that is Shilo. Shilo operated like a regular base of Mikdash, meaning it had all the components of the base of Mikdash. It had an aura. It was basically a base of Mikdash. Just temporary, it wasn't the base of Olamim. Then, Nov and Givon. Nov and Givon are periods in time historically where we didn't have Shiloh and we didn't yet have the Beis HaMikdash. So during that point in time, so there was no permanent Beis HaMikdash. It was really, Shiloh, it's hard to really call temporary. But if Shiloh is like a gap between upon our entering Eretz Yisrael and the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, Nov and Givon is even a smaller gap. And in fact, Nov and Givon didn't have an Aron, it just had a Mizbeach. And they were temporary facilities, very, very temporary, 57 years, I think.
What do they do for Yom Kippur and all the...
You bring the carbon Sibur and Oven Given, you don't bring carbon Yachid. I'll show you the Rashi in just a moment. So it was a very temporary structure. So what the Gemara now is saying is, and Nov and Givon existed between the Mishkan and the first base of Mikdash, meaning that after Mishkan Shiloh was destroyed, and before Shlomo built the base of Mikdash, so we went for 50 plus years with using this very, very temporary sanctuary of Nov and Givon. Okay, and Nov, by the way, why Nov and Givon? So, a little nach, you know that Nov was destroyed by Shaul, and so they had to relocate to Givon. Okay, anyway, with all that stated, just a little bit of history to know, so now what the Gemara is saying is as follows. What the Gemara is saying is, according to Isi ben Yehuda, that when the Torah says the word karka, it means that irrespective of which Beis HaMikdash we're talking about, it could be Shiloh, Nov, Givon, Beis Olamim is just another term for the Beis HaMikdash. If I'm using any one of those Bate Mikdash, so then I'm going to be taking from the karka of any one of those Bate Mikdash. That's the simple pshat of Isi ben Yehuda. Now we get to look at Rashi. Rashi writes, you see the Rashi on the bottom of Tezvav Amud Beis, that's the last Rashi. Isi ben Yehuda Amar Lahavi Karka Beis Olamim Hachi Garsinan La Bisifrei Velo Garsla Rabba Shila Venovi Givon U Beis Olamim. So the Girsa is, says Rashi, not the Girsa we have in our Gemara, but rather Lahavi Karka Beis Olamim, just the Beis HaMikdash, and only the Beis HaMikdash. And Rashi does not like the Girsa, does not prefer the Girsa that we have in our Gemara, and why not? So Rashi continues to write, Deshila Mishkanu V'lo Sarach L'Ribui Da'i Iker HaKosov. So first of all, Shiloh's concern. Shiloh is the Mishkan. The Mishkan, when they came into Eretz Yisrael, the Mishkan was just simply put in Shiloh. So I don't need a ribui for Shiloh, because Shiloh is just a hamshacha, it's just a continuation of the Mishkan they had in the Midbar. So Rashi says, so already Shiloh, I think you should strike from the record, because there's no need for it. And Novin Givon, Rashi goes on to write, Ein Mashkin Basotos. That we didn't have, there was no procedure of sota done during Novin Givon. And if a woman becomes a sota during the periods of Novin Givon, so like we say nowadays, meaning nowadays we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, a woman becomes a sota, that becomes a problem. In other words, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, that was a fixable issue. Without a Beis HaMikdash, she now is a sota with no resolution. So that would be true during Novin Givon as well. The Habama Havai, and why Rashi says do we not have the sotas drink during Novin Givon? Because Novin Givon has the status of Habama. V'lo havasham Aron, and there was no Aron. Ela mizbech nechoshes levado. The only thing it had was mizbech nechoshes. V'lo karva behem mincha sota, and we wouldn't be offering mincha sota v'lo shum chovas yachid, and not any private obligation. She'ein. And this is mentioned at the end of the Masechta of Kachim. It's mentioned in the first parak of Megillah. In other words, there's no private obligations are brought during the times of Novin Givon. So to obviously being a private obligation, it's not brought. But now it gets interesting. So now Rashi says, even though the Girsa in our Gemara is to include Shiloh, Novin Givon, so Rashi says, I don't think that Girsa is correct. Again, Shiloh we take out because Shiloh is, we don't need a ribui. It's really a continuation of the Mishkan from the Midbar. Novin Givon can't be included because we're not drinking sotas. You understand? I always stumble over that because there's no verb in English to give somebody else to drink. So, you know, you feed, but there's nothing by drink. So, but anyway, giving to the sota to drink, making the sota drink. So we don't do that during Novin Givon. So that also is taken out of the Gemara. So what's left? Water the plants. We don't water people. Okay, good. We're all in agreement. Okay, and then so then now we're up to Beis Olamim. Now Beis Olamim, we need a ribui for Beis Olamim. Now that's interesting. And Rashi says, and why? Why would you need a ribui for Beis Olamim? It's a Beis HaMikdash. So lo tamar mishka nemar velo mikdash Beis HaMikdash Yerushalayim karile Beis Olamim. Okay, so first of all, Rashi tells you, I learned it from Rashi, that the Beis Olamim is a reference to the Beis HaMikdash. Lefi she'in acher k'dushaso heter b'makom acher. V'shuv lo shart shechina b'makom acher. Because we know that once the Shechina gets to the Beis HaMikdash, so that's it. It's a permanent resting place for the Shechina, and it doesn't relocate. And as a Havamina, it's such a strange Havamina. As a Havamina, we would have thought that because this is it, so therefore maybe we wouldn't be able to take the karka from the Beis Olamim, and I need a special ribui. And that's where the Torah is coming to be marbe, the flooring of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. It's a difficult Havamina to even entertain, that we wouldn't be taking the dirt from the floor of the Beis HaMikdash because it's Beis Olamim, because it's the permanent resting spot of the Shechina. Admittedly, that's difficult, but that's how Rashi understands the Gemara. Again, Rashi's Girsa is different than our Girsa. Let's just refresh so that we haven't lost everything in the forest amongst the trees. So again, according to this Brisa, the Gemara started on the bottom of Tezvav Amud Beis. We have to take dirt from the floor. There are so far right now two opinions that we've seen. Number one, the first opinion is min ha'afar she'yeh, according to the Tanakhama. It just simply means you got to bring dirt in. Not unlike the previous brisa where you have to take the dirt, put it into the floor, and then take it from the floor and put it into the cup. No. Tanakhama just simply says, if you have dirt there, great. And if not, just bring dirt in. Okay, that's the Tanakhama. Ethi ben Yehuda comes to teach us that the when the Torah says the word karka, it's inclusionary. What does it come to include? So the Rashi feels that the correct gears of the Gemara is the karka of the Beit HaMikdash. We would have had a Havamina not to include it, but we do include it. Ethi ben Menachem Omer, we're now on the top of Tezayin Amid Beis. This is the third opinion of the Braisa. Ethi ben Menachem Omer Inosarech. So he says it's unnecessary. It's unnecessary. We don't need an inclusion to include the Beis HaMikdash, again, because that's what we said, the Beis HaMikdash is, there's no reason why we would have excluded it. It really is essentially the Mishkan, but in a more permanent fashion. So, and Isi ben Menachem gives a very simple argument. Look, Tumakala, right, let's say you're Tamei, and you walk into the Beis HaMikdash. It's an Isser Kares. It's light. Now, normally you wouldn't hear those words coming out of my mouth. Isser Kares is not, we don't normally refer to as light. In context, it's light, as you'll see in just a moment. So, and it's true whether you go into the Beis HaMikdash, and it's true whether you go into the Mishkan. Meaning, lo chilek akasav, there's no distinction. If you're Tamei and you go into either one of them, so it's going to... you're going to be chayv kares. B'tumas eishes ish chamur l'kol shekein. Now ratchet it up. Now we're talking about eishes ish. Now eishes ish is more severe. That's an iser misas beizdin. That's higher. So the excuse me. So there, if no distinction is made between Mishkan and Mikdash as it relates to Nisar Kares, so there for sure should be no difference between Mishkan and Mikdash as it relates to Mises Bezdin, otherwise known as Niuf, Eishas Ish. So Imke Matamolam Bekarka Mishkan, Shaloyavi Mitoch Kupaso. So according to Isi Ben Menachem, what's the Torah telling me when it says Karka? It means it's not acceptable to just bring dirt in, to import dirt for the Sota. The dirt has to be in the floor. And what if it's not on the floor? So as Rashi explained earlier, as we learned in the previous Braisa, so you'll bring it. But you just don't bring it in. That's not enough. You got to bring it in, put it on the floor, and then take it from the floor and use it for the Sota. Okay. Ad kan divrei ha-Braisa. So, what have we seen so far? Two Braisas this morning. The first Braisa says that if the dirt should be primarily taken from the floor plan of the Beis HaMikdash, lift up the tablet, take the dirt from the floor, and if not, bring it and put it on the floor. That's according to the first Braisa. In the second Braisa, the first opinion of the second Braisa disagrees. An importation of dirt, if there's no dirt naturally there, you just simply import dirt and you don't have to go through the procedure of putting on the floor. And then the two, the second and third opinion of the second Braisa agrees with the first Braisa. This is the way Rashi sets it up. And that Isi ben Yehuda and Isi ben Menachem tell me that karka means that it has to come from the floor of the Beis HaMikdash. And according to Isi ben Yehuda, a limud, that not only does this include the Mishkan, but also includes the Beis HaMikdash. Isi ben Menachem is of the opinion that we don't need such an inclusion. It's understood. Mishkan and Mikdash are one and the same. Okay, Ibai Lahu. And here we go for a good part of today's daf. Now we're going to be dealing with the following question. Ein sham afer mashi itein afer. Is there any acceptable substitute for dirt? Specifically, afer, ashes. So if we don't have dirt, can we replace it with ashes? Okay, now, just a brief introduction before we continue in the Gemara. We do know other area halacha where dirt is replaceable, substitutable with ashes. And that is by the mitzvah of Kisri Hadam. We know that the Torah tells us that when you shecht either a bird or a chaya, a wild animal, so there's a mitzvah in the Torah of Kisri Hadam. You got to cover the blood in dirt. Kisri Hadam bi'afar. The Gemara Chulim spends some time talking about this mitzvah, which makes sense because that's a masecht dedicated to the halachas of Shechita. Okay, so by domesticated animals, there is no mitzvah of Kisri Hadam. It's only by birds. It's only by chayas. Okay. In the meantime, what if you don't have dirt? So it's a machlokus in the Gemara and Chulin between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, whether or not ashes could be a fair substitute for dirt. Beis Shammai is of the opinion that ashes cannot be used as a substitute for dirt, and according to Beis Hillel, ashes can be used as a substitute for dirt. So with that stated, and now with all that in mind, now let's go back to our Gemara. So at least we know that according to Beis Hillel, so in one area in Halacha, ashes can be used as a substitution for dirt. And so now the Gemara is going to basically ask, is that a universal rule? Or is that specific maybe to the mitzvah of Kisui Hadam? So the Gemara says, look, according to Beit Shammai, the question is a non-starter. We know that Beit Shammai, who does not allow it in the world of Kisui Hadam, would not allow it over here. The question becomes relevant for Beit Shammai. The Amri, Matzino Efer Shikari Afar. So we do find that they are interchangeable terms, certainly in the world of Kisui Hadam. And by the way, where do we find that they're interchangeable terms? Rashi brings down Parshas Chukas. Rashi, no Divrei HaMashal, but it's right alongside where we are in the Gemara, just a couple lines below. Rashi says, where do I find Afer and Afer being interchangeable? Dichsiv, V'lachulata Mei, Mei Afer Srefa Sachatas. We're talking about the ashes of the Paraduma. How does the Torah describe those ashes? Not using the word Afer with an Aleph, describing ashes, but rather Afar. So, and we know we're talking about the ashes, so you see that the Torah refers to ashes as dirt, and so it's an equation, meaning the assumption is that it's a two-way street. If ashes can be referred to as dirt, so dirt could also be referred to as ashes. So, with that in mind, so the question stands. We know that Beis Hillel, at least in principle, believe these terms to be interchangeable. So Afa Gavdi, before I read out in the Gemara. So if he believes them to be interchangeable. So if they're interchangeable in the world of Kisui Hadam, would they work over here as well by Sota? Is the Torah specific when it says Afar? Or could we use the Afar substitute of Afar? That's the question. And the Gemara is now going to start deliberating. The Amri Matzino Afar Shikari Afar, Mai. Afa Gavdi Ikre Afar Hacha Bekarka Hamishkan Ksiv. Over here, maybe I can argue. And maybe I could say that by Sota, Afer is not going to work. Ashes will not be acceptable. Because the Torah is very specific when it says karka. So if the Torah is saying the word karka, maybe the Torah wants and only wants us to use dirt and not ashes. Or maybe no. Karka can come in to teach us one of the limudim that were taught to us by either Isi. Isi ben Yehuda, Isi ben Menachem. Maybe it's coming to include the Beis HaMikdash. Maybe it's coming to tell us that it has to be specifically from the ground, from the ground level, but maybe in terms of what the substance actually is, it could either be dirt or could be dirt substitute. So the Gemara says that. So let's deliberate. The Amar of Yochanan Mishum. Tashma. Okay, so let's begin now the deliberation. Amar of Yochanan Mishum. Rabbi Shmuel b'Shloshim Mekamos Halacha O Keves Mikras Mikra HaTorah. I'm sorry. Halacha o keves mikra. Three places, says Rabbi Shmuel, where what the halacha does is the halacha uproots the chumash. Now, I thought, it's funny, when I first saw the Gemara, I thought the word was going to be okeres, meaning which is basically the point. That three times the Torah says one thing, and the halacha, meaning halacha l'moshe misina, is going to come and totally upset and uproot it. But I read the Gemara again, and I even put my glasses on, and it doesn't say okeres, it says okeves. If you take a look at Rashi explaining the word okeves, mika pachas es akvo, right? Sweeps the leg, meaning undercuts, right?
Undermines.
Yeah. So the Rashi says, "Ma'amadov o keres begimam makamos halacha moshe misina bavo krin es a pasuk." Meaning, we have a pasuk in the Torah, and what does the halacha l'moshe misina do? It undermines the pasuk. Meaning, that's not what the pasuk means. This is what the pasuk means. And Rabbi Yishmael points to three areas in the halacha. So HaTorah Amra, and let's go through all three. HaTorah Amra be'afar v'halacha b'chol davar. The Torah says that it has to be covered be'afar. We're talking about the mitzvah of Kisui Hadam, and meanwhile, the halacha Moshe Misinai is bichol davar. Doesn't have to be dirt; it could be anything. HaTorah Amra Bitar. When it comes to the nazir, the Torah says, "Don't shave with a razor." And meanwhile, halacha bichol davar. The halacha is by nazir. Nazir can't even comb his hair. I mean, we learned that back in nazir, somewhere in the early mems. Nazir can't even comb his hair, meaning not pull his hair out. In other words, there's no hair removal, even though the Torah says the word ta'ar. No hair removal. So, and that's a halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. HaTorah Amra Sefer V'halacha B'chol Davar. And then another example, the Torah says the word Sefer, talking about a get. So the Torah says it has to be written on a parchment, on a paper or cloth, but it has to be written on, let's just call it paper. No, let's call it Sefer. And meanwhile, the halacha is B'chol Davar. It doesn't have to be on cloth. You can write on anything. Right? One of the examples the Gemara in Gittin is going to talk about is the horn of an animal. Attached, detached, we'll see it in the Gemara again. But basically, you can write the get on anything, even though the Torah says it has to be written on Sefer. Okay, so here comes the question of the Gemara. V'imisa lichshav nami hai. So the Gemara says now, Rabbi Shmuel gave three instances where we have a pasuk, and we have the halach l'moshe Mitzrayim undermining the pasuk. So with that stated, so now we have a pasuk. The Torah is very clear that when we want dirt for the sota, we want afar. And meanwhile, if the halach is, you could substitute it. So why doesn't Rabbi Shmuel count this as one of the three? So the Gemara is going to launch into its common discussion, its popular discussion of Tana V'Shayer. What the Gemara is basically going to say is the list of Rabbi Shmuel is not exhaustive. There are other examples, and we'll start that in just a moment. But before we start that, however, let's go over of these three halachas. Let's go over one of them, which is a little bit. Which is a little bit difficult, and Rashi notes. Of the three, we have a pasuk in the Torah, and the halacha Moshe Mitzrayim undermines it. So of the first example that was given was offer for Kisui Adam. Good. Torah says offer, halacha Moshe Mitzrayim says, yeah, you could use anything. Then we have the next example. What's the next example? Tar Barosh Nazir. Nazir can't shave his head with a razor. And what does the Torah say? No, not a razor, it could be anything. That's not really undermining the pasuk. Let's think this through. What we're doing over here is, we're not undermining the pasuk, we're adding. Meaning, the pasuk's pshat is correct. A nazir cannot take a razor and put it to his head. And then what we're saying is, in addition to that, we also can't remove hair using other things as well. That's not an akira, that's more of a hosafa, and it bothers Rashi. And Rashi is a little bit lengthy over here, but let's start with the Rashi. Rashi v'halacha b'chol davar did not nazir shigilach me'mezug me'mitar o shesif seif kol shehu chayev. Okay, quoting the Mishnah back in Nazir. Okay, Lamites. Oh, it was close. Okay, the Mishnah Nazir and Lamites tells us that a Nazir cannot remove his hair not with a razor, but not with anything, not with scissors, not sheaf. He can't vigorously rub his head. A Nazir cannot remove his hair. Period. The im tomer, huh? Okay, that's different. The im tomer inzu akira ela tosefes. So Rashi's bothered. This is not akira. In the other examples, the Torah says something, and the halacha Moshe Mitzrayim basically says no, undermines it. Over here, we're not saying no.
One is F is also. Ash is also tosefes.
No, but it's not ashes. It's chol davar. You could use anything. Meaning the Torah is saying this, and the halacha Moshe Mitzrayim says anything. You could, right? Okay, but over here, okay, could be. So Ainzu Akira Elatosefes Ibra Akira Hu Shemalak. I'm sorry, Ibra Akira He. So Rashi first starts arguing. This is going to be a fun Rashi because, as you'll see, even though Rashi starts arguing in one direction, Rashi then kind of admits that I tried, all right, let's go to the Rashi inside. So Ibra Akira. So Rashi says no, really it's an Akira. Why? Shemalkin Osawakach. Because here's what's going to happen. Another removes his hair and doesn't use a razor. Let's say he uses a pair of scissors. So, and let's say we go through the due process. There were edim, there was a warning. He accepted the warning and he did it anyway. So what's the next step? Next step is he violated this in the Torah. And what's going to happen is they're going to give him malchus. So also lahakus Yisrael b'chinam. And Rashi says, and I know that if somebody doesn't deserve malchus, so not only can you not give a malchus, it's usur to give somebody malchus. You're hitting another Jew. And if you don't have the right to do so, you're not doing a mitzvah, you're doing an aveira. So Sha'arei Amar Torah, Lo Yosef Pen Yosef. The Torah gives a lav that if somebody doesn't deserve malchus, he can't give a malchus. Va'afagav debekula cried Dashi and Beshchitas Chulin v'Gitin v'Nazir. L'Rabbi Shmuel L'Mashmalei cried deVechasav La. D'Marabina Mina L'Rabbis called David Darish LeBiksiva Mitzgareshet Ve'Einu Mitzgareshet BeKesek Dashi LaHasam. This next part of Rashi, I did not. I'm sorry. I should have just skipped it. It's another point. Now, skip to the next part of Rashi, Uva Maseches Kiddushin. It says the lines get a little bit wider, it's five lines down from there, and it's the middle of the line, Uva Maseches Kiddushin. So again, so what Rashi's arguing is, it's an Akira. Why is it an Akira? Because, if let's say the Nazir cuts his hair with a pair of scissors, so even though he didn't uproot the Torah, but Rashi's arguing, yes he did. Because we're going to give him malchus, and the Torah says that if he didn't deserve malchus, you're not allowed to hit him. By virtue of the fact that we're allowed to give malchus, speaks to this idea that we're uprooting the Torah. Because the Torah never said scissors. Torah only said a razor. Then Rashi says, now I'm going to quote the Gemara in Kiddushin. I'm sorry, not the Gemara in Kiddushin, the Yushalmi of Kiddushin. Uvim Maseches Kiddushin Yushalmi Matzasi Mishnazud de Rabbi Shmuel Ve'ein Tar Min Ashlosha. Ah. Rashi says, I learned my Yerushalmi. Okay, Rashi's ahead of me in learning, and that's the understatement of the year. So the Rashi did the Yerushalmi on Kiddushin, and the Yerushalmi also has a list of Rabbi Yishmael, and in the list of three of Rabbi Yishmael, it doesn't have the Ta'arv and the Nazir. So Ella Marzeya, but rather the Halach of Marzeya. The Avid Ivri wants to stay with his master forever, or until Yovel. So he gets his ear pierced, and the Torah says, and you use a marzeya, an awl. You like that? My knowledge of tools. V'hachitanya hasam haTorah amra sefer v'alach b'chol davar atalish. HaTorah amra afar v'alach b'chol davar megadal smachim. HaTorah amra marzeya v'alach amra afilu sul v'sira. V'hunir be'ayim me'od. And then Rashi says, after I found this Yerushalmi Kedushin, Rashi says, I really like it. D'hach t'tarim tosefesi. Because Rashi says at the end, because really I think the Tar is I think it's a Tosefus. I don't think it's an Akira. I know I argued it, but Rashi says, but really, when all said and done, I really do think it's a Tosefus. Okay. So anyway, just a good discussion in Rashi in terms of what the three are, and the Ta'ar, whether that's a Akira or whether it's a Tosefus, and using a Yerushalmi to either, in this case, not support an argument, but really to reject an argument that Rashi made. Back to our Gemara. So once again, let's remind ourselves what's the topic du jour. We're talking about dirt. And we want to know, is there a successful dirt substitute? Can I use ashes? So the Gemara now is discussing. The Gemara quotes a statement to Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael says three times, Halach L'moshe Messina comes in and uproots that which the Torah says. Undermines the Torah. The Torah wants something specific, and the Halach L'moshe Messina doesn't have to be that specific. And meanwhile, this is not one of the three. And the Gemara wants to like to use this as proof that no, it has to be offer, and there's no, and Afer is not acceptable. That's where we are in the Gemara right now. And the Gemara now is going to make the argument, Tana V'Shayer. Rabbi Shmuel's list is not exhaustive. There's more to it, and let's go through the cases that were left out. Now, in order to construct the argument of Tana V'Shayer, we always have to show that there was not one exclusion. Because one exclusion is not a oops. One exclusion means that's excluded. So you have to suggest that there's more than one out there that was left out. So the Gemara says what we left out is Mitzara, because the Pasuk says, Vayabi Yamashri Galechis Kol Saro. So the Torah says that you go over to the Mitzara on day 7 and you do a shaving of all the hair on his body. Klal. That serves as your generalization. As Rosh Hashanah, the kind of his Gabos Einav, head, beard, eyebrows, prat. That's a specification. As Kol Se'aro, all of his hair, Yigalech, Chazar V'Klal. What do we have over here? Classic. Klal uprat uklal. Iata dan elakeina prat. So using the methodology of Rabbi Shmuel, what do we know? We know that you have to look at the examples that are given, and that becomes now the base model of what we're going to shave. What are we going to shave? It has to be where there's an accumulation of hair and it's visible. So, so that now becomes the model in which all other hairs on the body are going to be shaved. Ma rabbi, rabbi say araglayim. And that comes to include the hair of the private area, meaning that is an accumulation and it's also an exposed area. My miyin, miyin de beis hashechi, the udekule gufe. But meanwhile, the armpits don't need to be shaved using the methodology of klal protokol, because even though it's an accumulation of hair, but generally speaking, it's not seen. Yes, you can see it, but generally it's not seen. So vehilchasa. So that is now the pasuk. Now, mind you, by the way, it's not the pasuk; it's the pasuk with the methodology of klal protokol. But right now, I'll say it. It's the pasuk. And meanwhile, what is the halach is? And meanwhile, you have the mitzvah. What do you do? Shave him like a gourd. Meaning, shave him clean, every part of his body. So what did the halach l'moshe misinai do? It undermined the pasuk. The pasuk says, you don't have to shave everything. The halach l'moshe misinai is, no, you have to shave everything. So did none. Balo lahakif es hametzora ma'avir tara kol b'saro v'ktani seifa over yamashim emagalcho tiglachas shnei kitiglachas rishona. Okay, so the Gemara quotes a Mishnah, the Koral Gemara quotes a Brisa, but basically, shave the mitzora like a gourd, shave everything, even though that goes against the pasuk. So Amar of Nachman Yitzchak Hakika Chashav Halacha Okeves Mikra How Okeves Midrabanan He. So the first answer is. No. First, let's leave this out of the discussion. We're talking about where the pasuk itself, without drush, without halach, without the yud gimel midos, we're talking about where the pasuk itself says one thing, and the halacha undermines the pasuk. Here, the pasuk itself doesn't give us isn't clear. Using the methodology of klalu pratu klal, that which is now the Gemara says it's a derabanan. Now, here. It's a very basic machlokus between the Rambam and the Ramban. When the Gemara is now saying, when we're deriving something through Yud Gimel Midos HaTorah Nejeshes Ben, does that now work on a Daraisa level? Does it work on a Darabanan level? And that is a major discussion, a major debate, and not for now. And oh, I mean, it's important, but just not going to do it now. But anyway, the point of the Gemara right now is it's not the simple pshat of the pasuk. It's a drush. And when Rabbi Yishmael was giving us a list, he was only giving us a list of things which are simple pshat in the pasuk. That's answer number one. And so therefore, leave this out. And once we leave this out, so now, right, we only have one exclusion, and that's not good. Rav Papa Amar Kika Chashiv Halacha Okeves Ve'okeres. Ha Okeves Umosefesi. And the Gemara says, also we can leave this out because this is not really undermining, it's just adding. Meaning the Torah says, here I want you to shave these parts of the body, not all of it. And what does the halacha Moshe Mishnah do? And shave these parts as well. So it's not an akira, it's a tosefes. Rav Ashi, Amar Hamasi Samani, Rabbi Yishmael, he did Darish Kol Prat. Another answer of the Gemara is that Rav Ashi says that this is the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael, who uses the methodology of Kol Prat. However, did Darish Kol Prat. Kidalas. Money, Rabbi Akiva, he did darish ribu amiyut. But the halacha that says that you have to shave everything, that's using the methodology of Rabbi Akiva, who doesn't use klal prat, but rather uses ribu amiyut. Another major issue that comes up again and again throughout Shas is how to use methodology in terms of generalization and specification, or what we would call klal prat. There are two ways to darshan, either klal prat or klal, that's more popular because that's Rabbi Yishmael, and we say it every morning in davening, so it's drilled into our head. But the other one, which is for people not in learning, less popular. For people in learning, it comes up pretty often, and that is using the methodology of ribu yamiyut. Al regal achas, just while standing on one leg. So the difference is, klalu pradu klal, the first generalization comes to include everything, but prad then takes it and defines it. And basically, it's once you have a prat following a klal, then basically you ignore the klal and you go with the examples that are given. Now that you only have the examples that are given, so then what does the next klal do? It tells us anything that looks, that patterns itself after those examples. That's klal prat klal. Ribui miyot to ribui, so the starting point is all different. Ribui means include everything. What does the miyot do? Miyut is not a definition. Miyut is just simply saying those things that look like this. But in other words, we're not defining the ribui. We're just simply saying it's got to look like this. It's got to pattern itself after this. So now, basically, after ribui miyut, you're not defined to just the examples that are given. They're just simply examples of things, anything like this. Then what does the next ribui do? It basically says, and more on top of that. And basically, all you'll have to do is just parse out what is not included. Meaning, there must be something that's left out, but basically, we're including everything. So, if you use a methodology, not a klal apart a klal, but rather ribui mi ribui, and you apply it to the parsha of the mitzora, so it says shave all his body, then it gives examples, then it says shave all his body, so what do we get? We basically shave all his body, with only just a little exclusion. Or what are we going to exclude? The Gemara is about to tell us. But meanwhile, once you use that methodology, so then you understand the halacha of shave his whole body. That's fine like Rabbi Akiva. But if you don't follow like Rabbi Akiva, you follow like Rabbi Shmuel, then you don't shave his whole body. And so that's why Rabbi Shmuel did not put that as one of the three. Because it's not one of the three. Because the halacha actually is, don't shave his whole body, according to Rabbi Shmuel. Okay, let's just finish up the Gemara over here. That's called Sari Galecha. I'm sorry. Didarsh Ribu Amiya. Ditanya, we learned on a bright somewhere on the very top of Tezayin Amid Beis, second line down. Vayabi Amashi Galecha is called Saro Riba. Es Rosh Vezekano Vezgabos Enov Miyat. That's called Saro Galecha of Riba. Riba Amiya, Riba, Riba Hakol. So the Ribu is everything. My Riba, Riba Dekule Gufe, shave his whole body. My Miyat, Miyat, Seir Shibetoch Hachotem. And the only thing that's parsed out of here is nose hair. Nose hair does not need to be shaved by the mitzvah. But in other words, anything which is quote-unquote external, you shave it. Shave the entire body. So anyway, with all that stated, the question on the table was and is, can we use afer as a substitute for offer? Can ashes, if we don't have dirt, can we use ashes for the mesota? Yes or no? So the Gemara raises the question. We know that according to Beis Hillel, in other areas of Halacha, they are substitutable by Kisui Adam. Are they substitutable over here? The Gemara offered that as a question. And now the Gemara discussed at length. And the Gemara says, My Havi Allah is basically, the Gemara saying the discussion was wonderful. Look at the things we got to learn today. Ribui, Mir, Ribui, Klal, Prado, Klal. Three times in the Torah where we undermine the Halacha, where the Halacha undermines the Pashup Shat. We learn wonderful things. But can we get back to the question and can we answer the question? That's my Havi Allah. So Tashma Damar Avuna Bar Ashi, Amarav, Ein Sham Afer, Mevi, Rakvovis, Yerek, Umikadesh. So the Gemara says, if you don't have dirt, so what can you use? Compost. So basically, take your vegetables that were left to rot, and you could use that as a dirt substitute.
What can you use, like the ashes?
Just give me 1 second. The Gemara says Velohi. And the Gemara says, now, look, you're right, but you're not right. Meaning, correct, the halacha is that compost is a acceptable substitute for dirt. But don't think then that you can use ashes. And the reason why is Rakvovis Yereku Dehavi Afar. Afer lo Havi Afar. Because compost is dirt. Meaning, what is compost? It's a vegetable that came from the ground that, you know, it's I'm going to use a term today that I can't believe I'm using. It's edible dirt. It's generated from the ground. We generally eat it. Happens to be we didn't. It rotted, but basically it's earth. It's an organic material that came from the ground, and we just elected not to eat it. However, when you're talking about afer is something that went through a chemical change. Meaning it wasn't this grainy material. It was, whatever, a piece of wood. And then we burnt it, and we reduced it down to ashes, or a cow. In other words, whatever the item was, we reduced it down to ashes. It's gone through an entire chemical change. So the Gemara says, you can't go from compost to ashes. Okay.
He said a number, though. If you just have a list, you're not going to be shit. He said three.
Right. Right, so why would the Gemara even, you're going back to the previous Gemara, why would the Gemara even offer a suggestion as Tana Vishayer, if he said three? It's a good question. I don't have a good answer. Okay. Tana Rabbanan, sorry, Kadesh Yiras Alamayim. Okay, and we're not going to finish the sugya today, but let's start it. And that is, how much earth? Okay, the Gemara couldn't be, you know, any more precise.
So ashes. Even though Beit Hillel says you can use ashes, you don't use
that. No, in other words, in Kisui Adam, yes.
No, but
and here by Sotam, seems to be no. Seems to be no. We know in halacha we always want to give shiurim, meaning that's, you know, we want to be precise. It's we're recording law, the legalities of it, and so the question is, how much earth? So Tana Rabbanan Shlosha Tzrichin Shiyiru, three times in halacha where the shiur is visibility, meaning that is the shiur. The shear is enough earth so that it's noticeable. So, afra sota, afra para, rok yivama. So, example number one, the afra sota. Meaning, when I come in with a cup of water into the heichal, and I mix dirt, how much dirt? The shear is visibility. Enough so that it is noticeable. The afra of the para. When I mix in the ashes of the paraduma into the water to sprinkle on the person who is tummy mace, so how much ashes do I need to put in? So once again, the shear is visibility. And finally, rok yivama. We know that when a chalitza is done, so one of the processes of chalitza is rakika, is where the yivama spits. Again, another common misconception is that she spits into the shoe of the yavam. That's not so. She spits in the general direction of the yavam. But in terms of spit, how much spit must come out of her mouth? I know that's a funny thing that we're giving a shiur on, but we are. And the answer is visibility, meaning there's no actual amount necessary. Just has to be visible to the naked eye. So verok yavama and mishim Rabbi Shmuel amru af dam tzipor. And there's according to Rabbi Shmuel, a fourth area where the shear is visibility, and that's the blood of the bird. On day one of the Tahara Samitzara, so the Torah says that you take water and you shech the bird and you introduce the blood of the bird into the water. How much blood of the bird needs to go into the water? Again, the shear is visibility. So my time in the Rabbi Shmuel Dechsiva Tavala Samadama Sipur, because the Torah says that you dip them, meaning we just discussed this the other day. The Azov, the Eitz Erez, the Azov and the Shnitolas are dipped into the water mixed with the blood of the bird and sprinkled on the Mitzvah on day one. So Vitanya Bedam Yachal Bedam V'lo B'mayim. Now you're dipping him into what? So I might have thought blood, not water. Tamalom B'mayim. Yeah, but we know that's not true because the Torah says water. Imayim Yachal Mayim V'lo B'dam. So it's okay. So maybe it's water but not blood. Tamalom B'dam. But that's also not true because the Torah says blood. Ha Ketzad. Maybe Mayim Shadam Tzipor Nikar Behem. So you bring in water, enough water so that the blood of the bird will be noticeable. Meaning you. You basically know how much blood is going to be there. And so therefore, it's like, right, remember your bio labs? I don't know if I'm talking to all of you right now. But you remember when you did titration? And you know how much blood is going to be there. So basically, you got to bring the right amount of water so that when I put the blood in, the blood's going to be noticeable. So, Shadam Tzibor Nikar Behem V'Kama Rivius. So how much water do I need? I need a rivius of water so that when the blood gets mixed in, so the blood's going to be noticeable. V'Rabbanan. Now, according to the Chachamim, Ha'olagufei. Now, that is the Shita Rabbi Shmuel, and that brings him to the fourth halacha where the shear is noticeability. Okay, so now what about the Chachamim who don't include this? So the Gemara says, as far as the Pesukim are concerned, I need the Pasuk Lagufa. Da'achi kamar rachmana. Atbot the Bedam uvemayim. Meaning, the Torah needs to tell me that I need to dip it in blood and water. V'Rabbi Shmuel, imken lechzor rachmana v'tavah bahem. Well, the Rabbi Shmuel says the Torah could have just said that with the words bahem. Bedam uvemayim lamali le nikar. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, the fact that the Torah goes out of its way to say dam and mayim is coming to teach me nikar, that it's a shear of noticeability. And the Chachamim say no. The Torah has to say bedam v'mayim because if it doesn't say that, I might have thought dip it in blood, dip it in water. The fact that I got to take the two liquids and mix them together, that's what the Torah is coming to teach me. The Rabbi Shmuel says, I know Tarovis, I know I mixed them together because the Torah already says that I put it over the blood and water. Look, maybe the way we could have read the Torah is, shech the bird over the water. But that doesn't mean that the blood has to go into the water. And then take the artery, carotid artery, pinch it. Maybe then put it into another cup. Maybe, and that would have been the fulfillment of the pasuk in the Torah, where I'm shechting the bird over the cup of water. Kamash malan. And that's what the Torah is coming to teach me. So in other words, so what do we see over here? A machlokis in terms of the three areas where we have nikar. Now look, we only brought it up just to tell us that in the world of afar and mesota, how much afar needs to go in? Nikar. Nikar is the shear. And then a discussion of where else in halacha do we have this nikar? And a machlokis between Rabbi Yishmael and the Chachamim, whether nikar applies also by the Dam Sipor on the first day of Taharas HaMetzora. Stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up.